Hello.
Hello, everyone. This is Joshua, and this is Travel Unpacked, the podcast about all things travel, from deep dives into destinations to stories from travelers like you and behind-the-scenes insight from amazing teams that create the tours at Colette. Travel Unpacked is your ticket to the world, and in today's episode, I am so excited because we are going to dive into the wild heart of Southern Africa with Suzanne Stavert, the amazing woman behind Adventures of Empty Nesters, and she's going to share some incredible experiences that she had on our tour, the Wilderness of Southern Africa Safari.
Now, before we jump in, we just want to say that Kelsey's not here on this episode, and she would be very upset if we didn't mention her. I think she said that literally last time, that we had to acknowledge that she's not here.
She is actually out in Sicily right now enjoying beautiful Italy, so I am a little jealous of that. I will say that.
I'm so jealous. I've been to Italy many times, but I have not been to Sicily. I have not been really to Southern Italy, and I want to. I hear that's where everything that we know about Italy, the deep culture, the history, the food, I just feel like everything is richer there. But I say that, and I don't want to undermine Rome and Tuscany and all of these wonderfully beautiful, famous places in Italy that are pretty popular, but I am dying to get to Southern Italy.
And she's going to have to tell us all about it when hopefully she brought us gifts. I really feel like she should bring us gifts.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't she get us gifts?
I know. That's exactly what happens when you go on a trip. You have to bring back gifts for your coworkers or your fellow podcasters.
Totally. Are you going anywhere anytime soon?
Well, this summer, so we're starting to make plans, and we're going to Greece. We're also going to be going to Dublin and Ireland, all around Ireland, with my mom for her 60th, and then Greece with my husband's family for a family trip. So I'm looking forward to just getting away.
Well, that's exciting. Greece is like unbelievable. Have you been before?
No, never been to Greece. So we're going to fly into Athens. We're just doing this as a family trip. We're going to do a couple days in Athens, go to the Acropolis, and then we're going to ferry it over to Mykonos for 3 nights and then take another ferry over to Santorini for 5 nights. And we're just going to enjoy the island life.
That's awesome. So Greece is part of the Mediterranean. So pop quiz, Josh, what countries are in the Mediterranean region?
There are so many different countries in the Mediterranean region that I can't even name them all. Italy, Croatia, Sicily, France, Spain. You'd be surprised to know that part of Morocco is. So there's that. There's Turkey. There's a lot that really encompasses the Mediterranean. But I think when people think of Mediterranean, they definitely think Greece, the Mediterranean diet, Mediterranean food. So I will be living that Mediterranean lifestyle.
I'm jealous. I love Greece. I love Ireland too. So your summer sounds exciting. We're going in July on a family trip to Costa Rica. So I will be bringing all of my kids, all 4 of them, and they range in ages from 6 to 11. So we'll be going and ziplining and going to the coconut plantations, learning the history. I'm so excited. I was just looking at pictures and reading the itinerary yesterday, and it looks like paradise. And it's a place that really kind of gives meaning to that term ecotourism, just everything that they do in Costa Rica to create that Pura Vida lifestyle. It's so authentic. It is different there. Because sometimes you hear ecotourism and you think it's just sort of an industry movement, but really there are places that practice it and it affects every element of the experience. I'm excited for that, just to really disconnect. I think it'll be important for my kids to see a place that feels so natural and like it's part of something bigger. So I'm excited.
I love Costa Rica. I love the pineapple plantations, going to the coffee plantations, seeing all of that. It's the freshest pineapple you'll ever have. I mean, you can't even explain how amazing it's going to be. And they cut it right up there for you. And it's just so good. It's so sweet. And you're going to love it. I definitely want to go back. It's one place that I've been that I could just go back many times because there's so much to do.
Are there coconut plantations, or was I confusing it with pineapple plantations?
I didn't want to say anything, but no, there's no coconut. I mean, maybe there is a coconut plantation.
God. Right when you said it, I'm like, no, it's the pineapple plantations. I had coconut water before in a smoothie, and maybe it's just on my brain, but...
I mean, maybe there's a coconut plantation that we just don't know about. Maybe that'll be what you'll find out when you go.
I will find it. I will recommend that we add it to the tour.
Add it to the tour. You're going to love it. I can't wait to hear about your kids ziplining. Oh, that's the best. Mm-hmm.
It should be interesting. And the hanging bridges. I'm really excited for that. So Costa Rica has been on my bucket list. I know we talk about bucket lists a lot. Costa Rica has been on my bucket list for a very long time. And I know the theme of our episode today, you know, we're going to be chatting with Suzanne about Southern Africa. That is such a bucket list destination for so many travelers. So Josh, what of the tours you're doing this summer, the Ireland and the Greece, are one of those like bucket list items for you?
I think of bucket list for me specifically, I do think of like South Africa. I think of those as like my big bucket list. I think Greece I'm excited about because because it's a country that I haven't been to. I've been to Ireland. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time because we're doing our small group exploration. So it's a lot of the off the beaten path places that I haven't been before, which I'm really excited about. But I think Greece is exciting because it adds another country to my big list of countries that I've gone to. But yeah, when I think of bucket list, I do think of South Africa. And that's a dream bucket list opportunity for me.
Yeah, for most people, going on safari just doesn't really matter maybe where it is. It's that idea of going on a safari in Africa. That is a bucket list item for so many. So we'll have to chat with Suzanne soon because I'm sure this was something that she felt that way about. And just to see that kind of experience come to life, something that's just so different from your everyday life. I think for a lot of people, that is what the bucket list is. Because yeah, Europe, Italy, all these places I've been, I love them. But I tend to reserve the bucket list for things that feel really, really, really different from life as we know it, you know?
No, I agree. And when you think of an African safari too, I think one thing people don't realize is the tour that she went on, it's not just, you know, safari by Jeep. You're safari by water. You're going on a walking safari. Like, this is truly encompassing anything and everything you could possibly do to really see the big five or to get to see, you know, all the wildlife in their natural habitat. It's truly amazing.
And this is one of our top tours from an excellent standpoint. Just every traveler who's taken this tour just consistently, departure after departure, is ranking it so high. It's just, you're right. It's probably the diversity of the safari experience. It's the interactions with locals, all of these things that just make it so satisfying.
And I'm hoping my husband listens to this because my dream is to go on an African safari. As I just said, it's my bucket list, but that is like a hard no for him. And he is an animal lover. And I mentioned it before, he's just a little afraid of the animals in Africa, where I'm like, bring them on. So maybe after listening to this, listening to Suzanne talk about her experience, he'll have a change of heart and he'll want to go with me.
Or you could go with your best friend of 27 years. Has it been 27 years?
I don't know.
To Africa. I would love to go on safari.
Okay, well, we can go. We can leave our husbands at home.
Yes.
And we can go.
Yes.
We can celebrate our 30th.
It will be our 30th. So Josh and I met doing theater in 1996, I think.
Yeah, 96 or 97. Yeah,
doing the Who's Tommy in a Massachusetts community theater program. It's one of those things that just continues to be something that connects us, just getting obsessed with a show and sending each other songs. We do it probably every week. We send each other songs that we're listening to, and it's often Broadway.
Often Broadway. And after a 9-year hiatus, I'm actually on the stage now in Cabaret in Massachusetts. So I decided to dust off the dancing shoes, even though I can't really dance, warm up those vocal cords. And, you know, we're doing Cabaret now, running through May. I'm excited.
Oh, that's so good. I'm going to New York City actually this week with my dad. We're going to a dinner there. So I'll be right in Times Square. I'll be around all the Broadway marquees and probably trying to plan my next trip to New York where I can actually go to a show. Maybe we'll go together.
Now, there's so much to see in New York right now. So definitely let's plan that trip sooner rather than later.
We'll do New York first, and then we'll go on safari in Africa without our husbands. We'll just say, listen, COVID got in the way of us celebrating our 20th year of friendship or our 25th, one of those big milestones. We couldn't do it. So we're owed a really big trip.
We are. We're owed Africa. We are owed the elephants and the rhinos, I think.
Yeah, although I could picture you throwing me off the safari vehicle if I annoy you too much.
No comment. There's no comment.
Maybe we'll see a moose.
Maybe we'll see a moose. Well, does that mean that since Kelsey's not here, we're not going to have any trivia?
No, we have to have trivia. I guess we can quiz each other because normally I love the competitive spirit between you two. So I do my best at hosting fun trivia for you guys to just hash it out. How about we do trivia to each other? We'll see how that goes.
Trivia to each other. All right.
And then Kelsey can listen and she can throw her answers out.
All right. That sounds good. So in honor of the big five, I think there are five trivia questions that we have here. So how about I take it away and give you the first question and see if you can answer it.
All right.
All right, so big stakes here. Everyone knows that giraffes are the tallest mammals on Earth, but they also have an unexpected characteristic when it comes to their sleeping habits. How much do giraffes typically sleep per day, and how do they usually do it?
Okay, I'm thinking because of their giant necks, they can't lay down because maybe they'd break their necks. So I'm going to guess that they sleep standing up and that they sleep for 20 hours a day.
Sleeping 20 hours of the day. Well, you got part of it right. So giraffes only need 5 to 30 minutes of sleep in a 24-hour period. That's like me. That's
oh my, I would be not able to function on 5 to 30 minutes of sleep a day. Maybe one day if it was a really bad day, but the long term, nobody would ever want to be around me.
I think it's the koalas that sleep really the most. But the giraffes, I remember, this is the reason why I think I knew this answer was because when you go to here, we have the spectacular Halloween adventure at Roger Williams, where you go and you walk through all of the carved pumpkins, and the giraffes are usually up at night. They're still there and you can see them. So I think that's probably why I thought they didn't sleep. Not 5 to 30 minutes, but I figured they slept a short amount of time. And they often sleep standing up, but they have been known to bend their neck back and rest their head on their rump while lying down.
Okay, follow-up question. Why do we call it cat naps if cats sleep all day? They sleep all day. When you take a cat nap, it's usually like referring to a quick little, just going to shut my eyes for a minute. It should be called a giraffe nap. Just going to throw that out there, see if that picks up steam. Hashtag giraffe nap.
Hashtag giraffe nap. I wish I could bend my head all the way back to my rump and lie down, but that's a visual.
That is something you don't see on safari.
Definitely not.
All right, your turn. Which animal is often referred to as the orchestra of the animal kingdom because of its wide variety of vocalizations?
Ooh, the orchestra. This is a hard one. There are so many different sounds with all the animals. I'm trying to think of like the Lion King. What was the bird in the Lion King? Zazu. What was he, like a toucan or something? I don't know.
I think so. I was going to say parrot, but yeah, you're probably.
Yeah, we'll just say a toucan. I don't think that was him, but.
Okay. You can tell we love Broadway. I have to tell you, Josh, not everything is like Broadway musicals where, you know, the characters in The Lion King. I know there's orchestras playing when they're on screen, but no, it was not the toucan or a bird. It's the African elephant. So this is crazy. The loudest recorded elephant calls are around 117 decibels. So basically as loud as construction equipment or a rock concert. That's loud.
I would never have guessed that. I was thinking maybe like hyena, but they just have a loud, I guess that's just a loud just versus different vocalizations.
Nobody would call a hyena an orchestra because they're just annoying, right?
They're definitely annoying, especially in The Lion King.
They're the bad guys.
All right. Oh, I wish I had this one because I would have gotten this one right away. So this should be easy. The term Big Five was coined by hunters, but now it's used by safari goers. Can you list the Big Five? And because I know that you love to study, I know that you love schoolwork for extra credit, can you tell me which one of them cannot roar?
Oh, God, I feel really put on the spot right now. The Big Five. Okay, lions, hippos, rhinos, tigers.
I don't think there's tigers in Africa.
Fine. Take that one away. I was just thinking Wizard of Oz, lions, tigers, bears. No.
Oh, my.
Lions, hippos, rhinos.
Well, hippos isn't there either, so you only have two.
Okay. Lions, rhinos.
You know, I wonder if Kelsey's available for you to phone a friend, because I feel like she could get this.
No, she'll say moose. There's no moose.
Okay. Do you want me to?
No. Just give me a hint.
I mean, I gave you five. Wait. That's a hint. The Big Five. They're big. One of them we talked about earlier.
All right. The rhinos are the ones that can't roar. Let's just say that. I'll get the extra credit.
Yes. The rhinos are the ones that cannot roar.
Yes. See, I got the extra credit. All right. What are the other three? What am I missing? It's going to be really obvious.
Okay. It is the lion. It is the leopard, not the tiger.
Cheetah.
Not the cheetah. It is the rhinoceros. It is the elephant. And it's the water buffalo.
Should have gotten the elephant. It was the question before.
I don't know why you didn't get the elephant. Like, that's like.
They're the orchestra. They are the orchestra.
They are the orchestra. I would have had them all except for, honestly, leopard. I wasn't sure about leopard. All right. Well, you did okay. You got the extra credit, but you didn't get points for the actual five. So
I got 2 points plus extra credit.
2.5 points then. Your turn.
All right. Name the country that has the largest population of white rhinos in the world, despite the challenges of poaching.
The country that has the most white rhinos? Ooh. Okay. So we are in Africa. Obviously, it's got to be a country right in Africa because we're talking about Africa and Africa trivia. I'm going to go with South Africa on this one because it's a big area.
You're right. South Africa. So South Africa is home to around 18,000 white rhinos, which is about 80% of the world's total.
Well, here you go. This is our last one. So the Big Five. And this is the final, the fifth question. In Zimbabwe, they have the Big Five. Oh, so we're still in the Big Five for you. And one extra special animal, even though you couldn't get the Big Five, that is often added to the list, making it the Big Six. Can you guess which animal it is? It is definitely not the tiger.
It is not the tiger. A cheetah.
No. Okay, well, that was a good guess. It is the African wild dog, which I didn't even know about.
Okay, I never would have guessed that. I didn't. It's not going to be obvious, but I write about Africa a lot for work.
Well, now you know that they are amongst the most successful hunters in Africa with a success rate in hunts of about 80%. They're also incredibly elusive on safaris and are considered one of Africa's most endangered predators due to their habitat fragmentation and human conflict.
We'll have to ask Suzanne if she saw that on safari.
I need us to look at a picture too, because I have no idea what an African wild dog looks like. I wonder if it's like a hyena.
Yeah, I'm picturing a wolf type dog.
Ooh, I can see that too.
Yeah.
Oh, did you learn anything besides the African wild dog today?
Yes, that my memory is not good because I've written about the big five more times than it would seem based on my answer.
Yeah. So I think definitely you now know that tigers aren't a part of the safari and that coconut plantations aren't a part of our tropical Costa Rica or our Costa Rica World of Nature tour.
We've learned all these things. Our listeners have learned all these things, things I knew, just forgot.
So ladies and gentlemen, I am excited because we are going to dive into Southern Africa with Suzanne Stavert, and she's going to share the incredible experiences she had on our tour, The Wilderness of Southern Africa Safari. Strap in, grab your binoculars, and prepare to be transported on an African adventure like no other. Here we go. Suzanne, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to talk about Africa to anyone who will listen.
We're definitely going to listen. Yeah.
You were just telling us that you were on a Colette Japan tour, right? And another traveler was going on and on about their Africa tour. And did that like motivate you to think about adding it to your list, or was it already on your list?
Well, to be honest, it kind of planted the seed. Her name was Suzanne also, as I recall. And when travelers go on tours and you all talk, you know, what was your favorite thing or where have you been? Because you really want to take notes from other travelers. But to be honest, I have wanted to go on safari for a really long time.
I think African safari, those types of tours just are on people's bucket lists and they sometimes feel a little out of reach. So what made you want to take this trip with Colette?
That's a very good point. And what I tell people now is don't wait. Honestly, this is going to sound funny, but it's not just for old people. It is for everyone. It is incredible. Young, old, everyone. We loved it so much. And I can speak for my husband as well. We absolutely had the time of our lives. You know, it's interesting, though, as you get older, you do start to make a mental bucket list. And I'm not really a fan of the word bucket list as much as I am an adventure list. Like, what's on your adventure list?
Ooh, I love that.
How do you go find adventure? Because really, the opposite is you're going to, quote, kick the bucket and you need to do these things before you die. And I have no intention of dying anytime soon. And I just want to find adventure. And that's actually been my moniker when I started my blog, Adventures of Empty Nesters, 11 years ago, was really to encourage everyone to go find adventure. And what better way to find adventure than to go on a tour with Colette in Africa? I'm sorry, it's just mic drop, right? It's insane.
What I love about this adventure too is we were talking about it earlier. It's not just safari by Jeep, but you have the water safari, you have the walking safari, and you really did everything.
We did, and we were all, I'm no pun intended, game for it. We totally were. Everyone was just like, bring it. What do you want to do today? Okay. And, you know, you had asked me earlier, why did I want to go with Colette? The by water part really interested me because I didn't quite understand the significance of being on safari on the water. You start at the very beginning. So yes, later on in the trip, you go to Lake Kariba, and we can talk about that later. But you begin in Chobe, and you're on the river. You're on Chobe River. I did not understand, you know, when you go to Africa, you learn so much about the people and about the country and about so many things. But the significance of water and wild animals is, duh, it is super important. That's where they all go to drink. So that's where you get these incredible views. You guys, every day was like, this is the best day of my life. No, the next day, this is the best day of my life. It was one of those kind of adventures. And we're on this boat and you can get within feet safely to see the Cape buffalo, hippopotamus, elephants. My videos look like I am literally next to these wild animals. The water is significant. And that's why I think this tour kind of sets itself apart, is this water part.
And it seems so beautiful, just the safari part that's on Lake Kariba. And the boat, the people too, you meet so many more locals, I think, through that experience and get to experience more of the culture.
Well, and if you liked it, we can touch on the Lake Kariba part, because it doesn't mean anything until you go there, right? Lake Kariba is the largest man-made lake in the world. It is massive, like an ocean. And they did this to help the animals and to help the locals. And Samantha, who I could talk about forever, was our tour guide. And She's an incredible human and her backstory is amazing. If I may plug my own podcast, Travel Connections, I did interview her and she is a magical person. But because of her connections, travel connections with local people and experiences, we were able to go to a camp. I didn't quite understand the significance of it when we did it. So imagine us on this very large, which is like a houseboat. And I think it had maybe 14 bedrooms or something like that. It's not super big. It's not like an ocean liner or anything. It's very intimate and everyone had their own little cabins and stuff. Not super luxurious, but you know, just what you need. So then you would get on another boat. I think they called them a skip boat. And it was just enough for all of us. So I want to say total with crew and everybody, it was like 17 people. I might have my numbers off just a little, but we were a small exploration group. It was so dreamy. Oh my gosh, it's so dreamy.
That's the best too. You get to know everybody really well.
You do it as much as you want to. I think it's good for everyone. So we go to this island and oh my gosh, it was magical. So we get there and these children are running towards the boat and they're waving and they are adorable. Most of them are like 5 to 11 years old that are the ones that are running to the boat and they want to hold your hand and they want to look at you and they want to do the peace sign. And I've said magical about 20 times already, but extraordinary. I wish I had my thesaurus in front of me so I could say more amazing adjectives. But the captain and the leader of the camp took us around and they're fishermen. And they explained how they make their huts and how they made the bricks for the huts. And then one of the guests did actually pick up a brick and start to help build a hut and everything. But you could see how they dried their fish and what they did with their nets. They were super proud of how they built their nets. And I would have never had that experience ever in my life if I hadn't gone on this tour with Colette. Those are the kinds of things that are so meaningful for me. And that's what I say about this tour. I know that there are people at Colette that are incredible that manage to create these tours. This is extraordinary. I got to do things I would never do in my life because of going on this tour. I get teary. It's amazing, you guys. Sorry, I've been going on and on, but that experience at the camp was so unusual and so unexpected. My photos are crazy. They're so great.
It sounds so special. I think that's sometimes when you get that local touch. So many of our tour managers are from the area, or our product designers who create these tours, they're local experts, they're destination experts, they live in these areas. So that makes such a difference because the experience isn't this cookie cutter experience. It's not something that you could Google and be like, I'm going to do this and then this. Yeah, you'll see the must-see sites anywhere that you go. But when you have someone who understands the destination or grew up in the place that you're going, it makes all the difference. Like just everything that you get daily as far as having someone who can relate it to their own life, the history, the stories, it just brings it to life in such a magical way. And I'm using the word magical, but it does.
That's very true. And it's interesting. All of this social media that I've been doing, and I've done some, but I have so much more. I have had people come out of the woodwork, literally, asking about this. This has always been on my bucket list. What do you think I should do? Why should I go with Colette? And I'm writing emails back to people saying, you're going with Colette because they know what they're doing. You know, you guys have been in business for what, 105, 106 years?
Going on 107 this year.
Oh my goodness. And, you know, I'm so proud of knowing everyone at Colette and having this long-term experience with you and relationship. And I trust the product that they put out. And, you know, I have a lot of choices. I'm a very lucky podcaster and travel writer, and I've been able to work with a lot of people. And I'm just so thrilled to have been on this tour.
I think sometimes people who feel like very confident travelers like yourself who travel a lot might go somewhere like Africa or Asia or somewhere that feels more outside their comfort zone, just a, you know, very different culture and language barrier. They might prefer to go with experts. And that, you're right, it's what we've been doing. We've been running tours in Africa in particular for 30 years. So we've been operating for 107 or going on 107. But yeah, it's been 30 years, three decades of operating in tours in Africa. So you learn a thing or two along the way that you can help a traveler's experience.
Well, that's true. And you know, that's what I like about small group experiences and small group tours. Before I'd been on my first one with Colette, I'd never been on one. I've kind of felt like, well, I know better, right? And I can put my own travel together. And the first time when I went on the Japan tour, I was blown away. I loved getting up in the morning and have someone else worry about everything instead of me having to do that. And so with Africa, I didn't know the first thing about putting a tour together for myself. And that's why you go to the experts. In the morning, she would give us a little, like a snapshot into what was going to happen the next day. And not too much, because you can't overload people with too many details, because it doesn't make sense until you're actually experiencing it. And so you would get on in the morning and you would have your tea and you want to talk about a game drive. You want to talk about what it feels like to be on a game drive.
That's what I've been waiting to know about the game drive and the animals. Like, that's what I'm so excited about.
Oh, my gosh.
About.
Well, it's interesting. So I'm going through the memory in my head as I tell you this. So we're at Chobe National Park, and we get up, and they bring you tea and little biscuits in the morning, and you have these jeeps that are sitting out. And I really didn't know what type of jeep we would be in. And there's a ride at Disneyland in California called Indiana Jones. And you get in this Jeep, and the Jeep jiggles and moves around and has these seats, these elevated seats. And I'll be darned if we weren't in the same kind of Jeep as Indiana Jones. I was like, this is the coolest
100%.
Thing. 100%. So flipping cool. And so you get started. And here's the funny part. With the first time you ever go on a safari, the first animal you see, you think, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, right? Because you've never seen a wild animal before. So you see the impalas a lot. And you don't know that you're going to end up seeing thousands of them going forward, or elephants, like everywhere you look. It's just insane. The first time we saw a lioness within the first like 12 minutes of arriving in the park. The guides really do know where the animals are going to be or might be. But they don't always know, right? You don't know what you're going to come up on, but all the guides talk to each other. So that's why these experiences kind of explode, because, you know, another guide is communicating with another guide, which communicates with ours. And then we kind of go there to go observe what it is they found. And just seeing these animals up close, I was in tears. It was amazing. There's just so much emotion when you're going on safari and you're able to see this for the first time. It never got old. And then we kept having experience after experience. I would have thought they were kind of unusual because there were so many. You know, we saw zebras, we saw giraffes. And I have a story for every, you name an animal, and I will give you a story or two that goes with the experience of seeing them. But safari, you get bit by this Africa safari thing and you want to go again. I was already like, how can we do this again?
Ugh, I love that. I think it's just, like you said, seeing the animals, feeling the warmth of the sun, you know, the smells of Africa, like everything surrounding you is just, it's truly, as you say, magical. And it definitely makes me want to go.
I love that you said it never gets old, because I know on this tour, you go on a lot of game drives and you're on safari, as you said, on the water, by land. There's safaris on foot, right? There's walking safaris too on this tour. So I love that you said it never gets old, because there's something new to probably experience and take in every single day.
Well, it's true. And most often you go twice a day. So you do a morning drive. So there's reasons. They know where the animals are. They know what the animals are doing. And I think in the afternoon, they're kind of, I don't want to say lazier, but they've eaten. And then now they take a rest. And so there's a lion story. You want to hear a great lion story?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. So the king of beasts. So there are different prides. And we came upon a pride of lions. It was like 13, which is fairly large. Listen to me. I sound like wildlife expert, which I'm not. But anyways.
More so than us.
Yeah, yes. Well, you know, I'm very fortunate. So the day before, let me create the story for you. The day before, in the distance, we could see that there was a small elephant that had been killed. And it was quite a sight. It was kind of hard to see, actually. It was pretty far in the distance. So you weren't seeing gory details, but it is life. This is life in the jungle, you know, life on the plains. So anyways, we saw a couple of lions going up to feed, but you see the vultures and you see the other animals in the kingdom waiting their turn. It was like one of those wild kingdom moments where you got to see what really happened in the wild, right? So now you know that this kill had happened maybe the day before, if we had to guess. And so you got to see that whole experience, which was remarkable. Then, so we're like, ooh, look at that. We come around a corner and there are this pride of lions. There had to be 10 of them. And they are flopped on the sand. They are passed out, literally on their backs, on their sides. They looked like, this is my description of them, passed out fraternity boys after a party. They are literally flopped everywhere. There, a couple of them are hanging on each other. Couple of them are on their backs. Kind of like the older ones are kind of tucked back underneath the shade. But I'd never seen anything like it in my life. So,
oh my God.
And you can't even forecast that, you guys. Come on. You can't forecast that you're going to see that. But that's what going on safari is. And I have 10 stories behind that that are just as good as that one. That's how cool it is.
It's interesting. I think when you think of going on tour, there's a lot of curated experiences. So we're going to have a tour through the Sydney Opera House and go behind the scenes. And like, there's some really wonderfully cool things you'll do everywhere in the world. But I think what tends to stay with people is exactly what you're saying, that unscripted stuff, the stuff that's not perfect. It's not, you know, the Lion King. We were talking about that earlier. It's not the Lion King. This is the reality. Yeah. And that you can't plan it. You wouldn't have expected it or forecasted it. Like you said, it's just, this is life in the jungle.
It wasn't, and you know, you're in a Jeep, the way it worked out for us, there was about 6 people and a driver. So we had our little posse of people that are in our Jeep and we're watching and everyone is silent because you can't freaking believe what you are seeing, right? And I love to hear my husband tell this story because he is a city guy. He is not a let's go to nature and walk through the forest kind of guy.
But he loved it.
He loved it so much. Yeah, I interviewed him in the first episode of my podcast on Africa on purpose because I thought it was really interesting to hear from someone who isn't necessarily the prime candidate for going on safari. And he absolutely loved it. But you guys, the safari experiences were every day, twice a day. And then in the afternoon, you're going to see something different. You're going to see a sunset. And I'm jumping all over for these experiences. I hope that's okay. But, you know, sometimes there were gin and tonics waiting for you in the bush. And it was like, what? You know, that's a curated experience, but that's about the coolest thing that I've experienced as far as a cocktail goes.
There was one moment that we saw in a video too, and I wanted you to touch upon it because it's just, to me, that's another one of those like wow moments is when the elephants came right up to the hotel that you were at and drank from the pool. Can you explain like how that made you feel and really how that came about?
I would love to. It is what I have now called the greatest travel moment of my life. I can't say it's the greatest moment of my life because I have children and grandchildren and stuff like that, but it is truly the greatest travel moment of my life. So we are at Iguanyana, which is the luxury tented camp, which I love to talk about because they do an incredible job. So imagine this, you get off a small plane and you get in these Jeeps and the Jeeps take you to the camp. And as we're coming up to the camp, I'm going to get to the elephant part. I just need to set the scene. So we're driving in and the local people and the people that work for the camp are all lined up and they are singing and dancing their local music and their local songs. And they are welcoming us. And back in the 70s and 80s, there was a television show where there was Mr. Rourke, and it was called Fantasy Island. And he would come out and he would say, welcome, that kind of thing, right? So The leader of the camp comes out and says, welcome. And you see this beautiful tent that is literally built into the landscape. So there are trees coming up through the tent. But when I thought about a luxury tent, I was thinking it was like dirt floors and I don't know, pretty rustic. This is not that. The owner of the camp, Terry Anders, he says it's simple luxury, and who I also interviewed, and he is a delight. Oh my gosh, he's such an interesting man. So this camp, there's a bar, there's a lounge, there's a place for you to eat. There's like a central camp where the Wi-Fi was. So you do have Wi-Fi if you needed that. It wasn't a super big focus, you know, while we were there in the wilds of Africa. And then you had your own tent kind of down the way. So we arrive, we kind of get settled in, and they built this beautiful fire for us all to sit there with, like, picture these like canvas director chairs. And so you would look out on the plains of Africa. And I thought, this is what I thought Africa would be like. honestly. If I had to envision that in my brain, if I ever dreamed of what Africa was like, that to me was what the scene looked like. So there's a pool. There's a beautiful pool over to the side. There's a great big area. And then they built like a, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's not a fence, but it's like a bramble of big, spiky, twisted branches that are to keep the animals away, in theory. So anyways, we're just sitting there and we're sitting by the campfire. And Samantha says, why doesn't everyone kind of just kind of go around the semicircle and tell us a little bit about yourself? And so now it's dusk, but it's not dark. And one of the gentlemen was talking and sharing or whatever. And all of a sudden, we see like 12 elephants. I couldn't even count, but it was way more than five and almost more than 10. Come silently. How do elephants walk silently? I don't know, but they do. Trust me, they do. So they all come walking up slowly. And all of a sudden, they're standing. I could have thrown a rock and hit them. They were that close. Okay. Samantha has her back to it. And we're kind of like, Samantha, right? I am absolutely blown away. And evidently they do this almost every night at this camp. I learned this.
So Samantha was probably expecting it.
Well, Terry said that they don't do it every night, but this group, and I think this group is called the Presidential Herd. It's not a group of elephants. It's a herd of elephants. And this herd of elephants has become familiar with Iguanyana. They're still wild animals. Do not mistake me. They are wild animals. But they walked up. I couldn't believe my eyes. Couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't have dreamed of a scenario like that. So Terry walks over and I'm just like, I'm trying to hold it together. I can't believe how amazing it is. So I've got my phone. He goes, give me your phone. I'm like, okay. So Craig and I have our back to it and we're taking pictures and everyone's taking pictures and everything. And the largest elephant kind of makes a trumpet sound. And my husband starts tearing out the opposite direction. And we're like, no, slow down. So the city boy was startled by the elephant trumpet. And Craig thought that was the funniest thing ever. He's like, no, Craig, you got to go slow. You got to go slowly. But he says to me, they're going to go to the pool next. I'm like, what? He goes, no, seriously, they're going to go and they're going to drink out of the pool. Why would they do? You know, it's like none of this made sense to me, right? He goes, go over there, take off your sandals and put your feet in the pool. And I said to him, oh, I don't think I can do that. He says, you are perfectly safe. You need to do this. I'm like, okay, I'll be darned. If those elephants didn't come, there was probably about four or five of them, even the baby, and they were drinking water out of the pool. He says they like the blue pool water better. So imagine this pool that's like one of those, what do they call them? The edge kind of drops off. The name is escaping me right now. I'm too involved in my elephant story. So right below it, they built this trough for the elephants, but the elephants don't drink out of that. They drink out of the pool. So these elephants, they would change places. So the big ones would come, the mama would come, the baby would come, they would drink. You guys, they stayed there for 3 hours. They didn't leave.
Oh,
and people are eating dinner. Dinner was right by the pool, right? I'm like, who can eat dinner? Walking around, I'm filming it. Like I said, it was the most amazing travel day / night of my life.
And that's surreal. And you can't put that in the itinerary. You can't say, and then you might see that because you can't guarantee it.
I'm glad they didn't tell us. I am so glad they didn't tell us.
Yeah, what a surprise, right? What a it's a meal that you'll never forget.
Unbelievable. And they were all so gracious. And that is where we also had the walking tour. So didn't know that was part of the deal. And so Terry is quite an expert, and it was really fun to go with him. And he showed us this tree that was really twisted. It was like on its side. And we're like, what's up with the tree? And he says, well, it was an acacia tree. So the acacias are the trees that you associate Africa with. They're kind of a canopy tree, and they're very common in Africa. So this is an acacia tree in an acacia grove. And what had happened is over the years, the elephants would take their trunk and twist it to get the leaves off. So it would end up twisting it, and it grew into this almost like a corkscrew. And it grew another 20 feet that way. So it was completely twisted. And so you would have never seen that had you not been on a walking safari. And then, you know, the elephants are so prominent in Wenge, which is the park that we were in Zimbabwe. And so there is elephant dung everywhere. And it's so funny. Do you know what elephant dung smells like?
I can assume, but based on the fact that you're asking, I'd say no.
I know. It actually smells like grass. So really? He was holding it in his hand, and he's like, smell it. I'm like, really? And I did. You know, Princess Suzanne is smelling grassy elephant dung, and it smells like grass. They don't really break it down that much. And so this is part of what we learned about conservation and the importance of the elephants and their dung and their seeds, the seeds that of all the grasses, you know, that they eat get spread out all along the plain. And so that's how new growth happens, because of the elephants doing their business.
An important part you just said there is, you know, you learned that while you were on that walking tour. And I think that's so important for people when they think of guided travel, all the things you can learn that you maybe wouldn't be able to learn on your own just by going on your own.
Never. And we just listened. There was an elephant that had died during the pandemic. I want to say like in late 2021, and it was a female. And we're like all sad and everything. And the skull is there with a few bones. Well, they don't move them. They leave them there. And when the elephants come by the other herds, they pay their respects to the skull that's laying there. It's quite amazing. And he was describing it to us. We did not see that particular thing, but he talked a lot about this, you know, and he showed us the skull, and he just explained so many things about elephants and how important they are to Africa, that it was all part of it. And his passion for conservation and the importance, let me touch on this, which, you know, I don't think I understand, you know, tourism's really important for the local economy, which is kind of a given. We know that, right? But to Africa, it is vital that people go and visit in order to save Africa. Because what it does is it provides funds for the water so they can help bring water to these animals who would die without the intervention of humans to bring them water. You know, these are just things that I never really thought about before going on this tour. And it just, as I've said before, it absolutely changed my life going there on this tour. Absolutely, 100%.
When you talk about the experience, it just makes me think of sort of an untouched part of the world. Not everywhere you go feels that way. Oh. Because you saying that they'll leave the skull. You know, we're in an age where things, you know, become exhibits in museums and we study them. And that's important. Mm-hmm. It's an important part of preservation, and studying these remains is an important part of just evolutionary understanding. But to know that there's still this place where it's just left alone, that's just the way of things. That's just how in that world things take care of themselves, and that animals are paying respect to those remains. Like, it's so powerful, just what you're saying. It just feels like this very untouched place.
You know, it's so interesting. Africa is unspoiled, but that's the Africa that Colette showed us. Don't forget, that's a big distinction with this tour. It's real. And I love that part of this tour. There were so many details and things we got to experience and see that I never knew existed. So there's something called the Big Five, which is the lion, the elephant, the Cape buffalo, the rhinos, and the leopards. And we did not see a rhino while we were there. Rhinos are hard to find. Unfortunately, there are people that have been killing them a lot. So those are much harder to find. But the Cape buffalo are interesting. I didn't really know about the Cape buffalo till I went to Africa. And they are an unusual looking beast. The males have these horns that look like someone parted their horn in the middle and then have these really large, twisty horns that come out of their head. They are the most dangerous, and they look like you've stolen something from them. They have this like, this face, this like mean face. And we were in a Jeep and we saw a herd of Cape buffalo. We kind of came upon them, and they were kind of traveling from east to west in front of us. And there wasn't 100, there was 600 or 1,000. I mean, there were a lot of Cape buffalo, and it was quite a sight to see when they're pretty far away. But when they stop and then they look at you, like, what are you going to do? And we're like, so I was a little bit nervous. Our guide was kind of like, And he's talking to us. So I was watching his behavior to know whether I should be scared or not. He was not scared in the slightest. He knew exactly what they were going to do. But what was interesting is that they needed to cross our path in order for us to go forward. Either they needed to go or we needed to hightail it through the herd of Cape Buffalo. So we kind of eked our way along, and they would go to run and they would stop because they saw us and they were afraid of us. So then they would go to run and then they would stop again. And so what ended up happening is we went through the Cape Buffalo herd while they watched us as they went by, like they were sitting at the bus stop watching us go by. It was quite remarkable.
You can't even picture that. Like that, those are the moments that you have that you can't even, I mean, you describe it so beautifully, but that's just.
Well, thank you.
I wish I could have phoned you during trivia. We did some trivia before you came on about the Big Five, and I failed to name
failed
all five.
Miserably.
I know. And then there's the Big Six. Suzanne, totally separate question. But do you know what the sixth is? The Big Six?
We didn't either.
Know.
It was the African.
Tell me.
The African
Josh.
Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or African wild dog or something like that.
Oh, the spotted dog.
Sure.
Well, it used to be the wild
see,
dog. Now
us
it's
already.
Called the spotted dog.
Well, see, you know all of this. It's
because
you went.
Well, hello.
Because you went.
We went to the spotted dog sanctuary in Zimbabwe, and that was quite remarkable. So they're kind of scary looking. They look almost like a hyena. We did see one or two hyenas, by the way.
No, they're not.
They're not the prettiest animals in the world. Spotted dog is pretty. It looks like a German shepherd, kind of, but with spots all over it. And they're known for like coming in and scavenging at the end. And so they had kind of a bad reputation. So someone had the brilliant idea to kind of remarket them. And now they became the spotted dogs. And so now everyone's saving them, which is really awesome. So the spotted dog, it's beautiful. And I have a little carving of a spotted dog that they burned the wood with the little spots on it. It's really cool. That is the symbol of Egan Yonner Luxury Tented Camp is the spotted dog. So if you go on their website, you can see a lot more information on the spotted dog.
See, you not only knew the trivia answer, you had all the follow-up information about it.
I loved Africa. Did you notice?
I could have phoned a friend. So when you were talking about the spotted dog, you mentioned that it was the symbol of the tented camp that we stay at on tour. So
yes.
The luxury tented camp, a lot of people ask us about that. Can you explain what the experience was there?
I think I might have mentioned before that I had envisioned like dirt floors and things like that. It's not like that. There's a cement foundation. So the actual canvas comes right down to the cement foundation and it's all netted and everything. And there's a fan and there's like a sliding glass door in the front. There's a bathroom inside. So it's like you feel like you're outdoors, but it's indoors. And I really thought that was cool. It was very cleverly designed. Many of the tents had literal trees that grew up through them. So when they built the tents, they left the trees where they were in nature and then just built the tent around them. The food there was really good. We haven't talked food and I love food. The food at the luxury tented camp was excellent. They cooked on what I would consider fairly primitive wood stove where it's literally wood beneath it, a big kind of flat top. And then they just fed it with wood. I mean, they don't have a lot of utilities out there. It's in the middle of nowhere. So they had this flat top. And oh my gosh, one time we had pizza. They made beautiful salads and grain salads. They made scones. They made tea for us in the afternoon, like a high tea, but with scones and fruit. And oh my gosh, it was just delightful and plenty of gin and tonics and ice cold water and sunsets that just make you cry because they're so beautiful.
That sounds great. The food sounds, to your point, very unexpected. You're in the middle of nowhere. There aren't a lot of utilities. I imagine you didn't expect any of that. And it just it sounds like they welcomed you to their home and in high style.
They were proud. They were so proud to share their Africa with us. And I loved that. I thought that was so moving. And my heart was so touched by the people that we met. They sincerely wanted to show you where they were from, what they did. When we were in Victoria Falls, another experience, we went to lunch in a woman's home that had been arranged for us. Who gets to do it? It just doesn't happen. And so all of those extra layers, those experiences were perfect for me, right? For this kind of traveler. Because I really think someone asked me, like, why do you travel? Well, because it enlarges my heart. It adds to my life. It's not really so much oh, I got to see that building in that particular destination. But it's the people, when they really want to bring you into their culture and they want to share what they do. I just think travel can bring the world closer together. And I think more people should do it.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that's just so important. As you mentioned, the wildlife that you saw, it's those experiences, but it's the people. It's the people that you remember. It's the tour manager that brought you there. It's the home-hosted meal that you had with the wonderful family. And I think that's one of the reasons why I love to travel too, because you get to connect with people that maybe you wouldn't normally connect with back at home. And you get to bring their stories home and share them with your friends and family.
Yeah, it's true. And I ended my conversations on my podcast with like, what can we do for you? And they're just share Africa, tell more people about it. And that's how I feel. It's like anybody who wants to hear about it, I'm happy to sit down and talk to them about it because I am authentically happy. Because and better for going on this tour every day. You know, you're getting up early, guys. You're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. This is not for the weak, I'll tell you. And when I mean weak, I mean like the difficult person. You got to roll with things. This is Africa. You need to roll with things and you need to embrace everything that they offer you every day.
What are the top three? And you can only choose three. What are the top three reasons someone should take an African safari right now? I'm sure you can get plenty.
Okay. You will be forever changed. No question in my mind. If you want to enhance your life, go to Africa. I would say the animals probably to experience seeing these wild animals unlike anything you've ever seen before or have access to. That would be two. Gosh, the list is so long. Get out of your comfort zone. Go find adventure. You know, life is short, people. We need to get out there and see the world and experience what is out there. I would say really to get out of your comfort zone. And instead of worrying about, oh, is it going to be like this? And oh, is it going to be like that? I say just go for it. Find adventure. Do it. And don't wait. I can't stress that enough. And people are saying, oh, it's on my list. It's on my list. But now what I'm finding is they're moving off that list and actually taking action. Because I'm hearing from my audience saying, you know, I've been thinking about this. And then I saw your video and I thought, I could do that. I'm like, heck yeah, you can do it. Anyone can do this. It's amazing.
I could talk to you for hours. Just listen to you. I have questions, but I don't.
You're so sweet. Well, you know, one of the things I stressed about before going on is what to pack, what to bring, right? I really did stress about that because I thought I'm so far away. If I don't have it and I need it, I'm out of luck.
There's no general store in
you really don't need as much. I know.
A little travel store.
I brought too many clothes. I brought too many things. You can rewear things a lot and you layer. So like if you wear a t-shirt and then you wear the long sleeve shirt over it. I did a lot of purchasing on REI and on Amazon. I'm actually going to put together a store on my website, an Amazon store, to like make suggestions of things. I think my hat was fantastic. It's kind of a safari hat and you could tie it into your chin. I really loved that. You have to wear green clothes. You cannot wear camouflage, by the way, which was new information to me. It connotes like military. And so they frown upon that. They prefer you not wearing camouflage. Sunscreen, rain jacket, like a poncho-y kind of rain jacket thing is super valuable. You don't need a lot. I really brought too many clothes. So keep that in mind. It depends on when you go. Sometimes they say it's cool in the morning and then warm in the evening, but it really wasn't that cold. It just kind of depends on your tolerance for cold. Oh, and sometimes there's no blow dryers. Like most of the time, I had kind of wild hair most of the time, but it's like, I'm in Africa. Am I going to be perfectly, you know, all well done and everything? You're in Africa, for goodness sakes. Right?
Wild hair, because you're in the wild.
Yeah, it's
your
the
African
lion look. You know?
Yes, yes. Lion look. That's right. Well, suffice it to say that this torch did change my life. My photography. I am a photographer, and I have to tell you how inspiring to actually see these animals in the wild and be able to take photos. I was squealing. It was remarkable, truly remarkable. A once in a lifetime, hopefully in my case, more than once in a lifetime, because I want to go back so bad. I think that's the beauty of talking about tours like this, like in a really authentic, real, truthful forum, is that you really do hear the real information. It's not in a brochure, right? I mean, you can look at gorgeous photos and you guys have, you know, Coletta's obviously gorgeous photos, but how nice for you guys to be able to talk about tours and talk about travel in such a way that people can really like drink it in and listen to the details of a tour. I think it's brilliant. I love podcasting. Do you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, it's just what you said. Like we talked to some of our tour designers and travelers like you. And so in an episode like this, our designer for Africa, this mm-hmm. would be the highlight of his year because your experience is exactly why our team does what they do. To hear that feedback. And on the flip side, if something's not working, they are quick to say, okay, well, let's get in there and change it. And something could be changed the next day for the next departure. So the team is so passionate. So to hear your enthusiasm, it just means mm-hmm. the world.
Well, and I want to give them all a gift because they created this just masterpiece of a tour. And I hope Colette does it for a really long time because more and more people need to experience this for sure.
Yeah, I think a tour like that can, you said it's life-changing, and I think it can offer a lot of perspective when you go back home.
Oh my gosh, yes. I am forever changed. There's no question in my mind. I am not the same person. You should see all the Africa. They have like an Africa altar in my house because what ends up happening is the locals there, they need ways to make money. And so they carve bulls and they carve animals. And so it's very common to see these beautiful carvings. And my husband just cracked up because we're wrapping them all. And I brought home my whole Africa altar and I have it in one spot and have everything there. And it just reminds me every day of how grateful I was to have had that experience.
I'm so happy you were able to share that experience with us.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to have been asked and to be on the tour.
So what do you have coming up that you're excited about?
I'm personally doing some great tours, but guess what? I am going to South
I'm
America
so excited.
With Colette.
Oh, awesome. Where are you going?
Well, I don't know the particulars, but we're starting Buenos Aires and we go to Patagonia.
Mm, our Patagonia tour.
Oh my gosh. I know. And there is a boat involved on this tour as well. That was also an adventure bucket list for me. Absolutely. 100%.
Adventure list.
It is yeah. on my adventure list. And I am so excited to do this all over again with Colette because I don't know. We keep building on this. I don't know where there is to go after these two tours. But yes, I will be heading to South America.
That's going to be amazing. I mean, we've been talking about that. That's one on our adventure list because we talk about it often. And it's just, you're going to be blown away on that mm-hmm. one too, in a totally different type of feeling in a different way.
Well, that's what I'm hoping that by us going on these things, it kind of nudges people like, I think it's time. I think it's time. And I think sometimes people just need a little nudge. And I'm happy to be that person to go ahead and suffer to travel these places and share. No,
somebody's got to do it.
We love you here. We love you here, Colette. We love you on tour. And you're so fun to talk to and you're fun with the camera and everything.
That's so wonderful. Well, thank you.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your stories, your amazing insight. Like I said earlier, we could talk for hours. I feel like we didn't even scratch the surface because there's just so much that you could talk about. But, you know, I know you have your podcast and you have a lot of great stories yourself. So can you just tell our listeners where they can follow you and your journeys on social and your blog?
So my website is adventuresofemptynesters.com. And at the top of the homepage is my podcast, Travel Connections. You can listen to Travel Connections anywhere on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find me there. I'm on Pinterest at Suzanne Stavert, Instagram at Suzanne Stavert, Facebook at Adventures of Empty Nesters. You can find me and I hope you come visit and let me know what you're doing. I love to know what people are doing out there. So please
yes,
come
definitely
visit
go
me.
Visit her and you can hear all the great stories that she has with Africa and all of her adventures with Colette and outside of Colette too, because you are a traveler. You love traveling and we love following along. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. And at the end of every episode, we always like to tell our travelers what to pack. So don't forget to pack your bucket hat, your safari hat, and definitely try to pack less when you go on an African safari.
Exactly.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.